The first Testament lesson this morning is Micah 6, verses 6 through 8. You can follow along in your pew Bible on page 866. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament lesson comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Just to sort of set the scene, Paul traveled around founding churches, and he would found them and then leave and establish others. And when he would hear of issues in churches or churches needing encouragement, he would write them letters. And that's what this letter to the church at Corinth is. It is one of his two that we have, possibly three, maybe even four letters that he wrote to this church. And so we pick up in the 11th chapter, verses 17 through 34. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another gets drunk. What? And Paul said it that way too. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I don't commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not need to be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the rest of the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you're hungry, eat at home so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come. The word of the Lord. She hit me. That's the only way to say it. she hit me. To understand the context of this incident, we have to go back a year or two. It was my last year in seminary. It was Christmas break. And we'd gone home to see first my father and then over to San Antonio to see my mother-in-law. We decided on a particular Sunday while we were there to go to church at First Presbyterian Church in downtown San Antonio, because one of my classmates who had graduated and was an associate there was going to be preaching. So we headed downtown, what we thought was really early, and we got to the church and found out that Jim was preaching in the chapel. Now, their chapel is not a lot bigger than, not a lot larger than our chapel is. And so it was packed because Jim was and is a fabulous preacher. And the only pews left open was a pew at the very back of the chapel on one side. So Cindy and I scanned the room, determined there was no other place to sit, and began to slide into the pew. And that's when I got hit. It was this thwack. And I looked up, and it was the usher. And she had the bulletins in her hand, and she thwacked me again and said, "That's my seat." Cindy and I said, "But there's no other place to sit." She said, "I don't care. That is my seat." Thwack. I've been thinking a lot about her this week, because I was thinking she would fit really well in the church at Corinth, because the church at Corinth was one hot mess. That is the only way to describe that church. It was a hot mess because it was divided. It was divided over people who thought their baptism, because of who baptized them, was better than other people's baptism, so they were superior. They were divided over spiritual gifts. There were those who said, "Sorry, my spiritual gifts are better than your spiritual gifts, so I'm superior to you. Especially if I speak in tongues and you don't, then that just means I'm better." And then they were divided by what happens on Sunday morning. Now, within the early church, Christians always met in house churches. There were no church buildings, but they would meet in someone's home. And they would always have a meal together, and then they would have some teaching and maybe singing, and then they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. So what was going on evidently in Corinth is that the people who got there early, who tended to be probably a little more well-to-do, they would bring their big picnic basket of food with them and their huge thing of wine. And they would chow down and get, well, as Paul says, absolutely drunk, because they'd just be pouring the wine down. And then other people would arrive, probably the slaves, the servants who had had to feed their masters before coming, and they got off and they came. And when they arrived, they obviously had no food to bring with them. And those who had food, if there was any left, I can just see them taking the bulletin and thwacking those people and saying, "No, no, this is mine. This is my food, not your food. This is my wine, not your wine. So you go hungry and thirsty, because obviously I deserve what I have." Now, you would think that Paul would just tell them to quit being rude, because this is what it is. Right? It's just rudeness. Maybe Paul would say, "All right, back to kindergarten. Back to kindergarten, learn your manners. We learn to share. We learn that if someone's hungry, we feed them." Paul should just tell them to quit being rude. But for Paul, this is not just about rudeness. This is about not walking your worship. Now, I realize that may sound like a rather strange thing to say, that this is about not walking your worship. But to understand that, what we have to realize is that Paul is a good Jew. And as a good Jew, he understood clearly that worship is not the rites and rituals that one goes through. Worship is the totality of someone's life. Let me say that again. This is something that I think sometimes we miss in the scriptures. Worship is not the rites and rituals that they would go through either on the Sabbath or in the temple, and it's not what we do on Sunday mornings only. Worship of God, true worship of God, was living a life that reflected what God desired of human beings in the world. And this is what this prophet Micah is about that Jan read. So let's go back to that real quickly. And this is Micah saying to the people, look, you're not walking your worship. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? This is talking about someone going to the temple. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves a year old, meaning the perfect animal. Will the Lord be pleased if I sacrifice thousands of rams and if I pour out tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I even give my firstborn to God? Shall I do this? Micah says, no, all of that, well, it may be interesting. It is not true worship. He's told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with God. That, Micah says, is true worship. And that's not just something that happens when one comes to the temple or one comes to church. This is what happens when one lives one's life every day. Because worship, again, is not just this momentary thing. Worship is everything that we do. And that's why Paul, in the middle of this section of being critical of the Corinthians, puts that piece about the Lord's Supper. Now, what's interesting is what we've often done with that is we've sort of yanked that part out and said, oh, thank goodness he gives us liturgy. He gives us the right thing to say while we're doing communion. Thank you, Paul. But folks, that's not the reason for that being in here. He's not giving them the words. They already know the words. What he's saying is, this is what your worship ought to look like. Your daily worship should look like this table. He says, I pass on to you again what was passed on to me when Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Do this. This is my blood poured out for you. Do this. Do this because you remember me, because you remember what right worship, what walking worship looks like. It looks like me being willing to sacrifice myself for you. So, Corinthians, you're not to hog the food or the wine, you're to share it with your brothers and sisters who come late. You're to share it with your brothers and sisters who are hungry and thirsty. You're to do justice and show kindness and offer compassion and walk humbly with God. This is true worship. This is what Paul is about in here. And he tells them then that what they need to do when they come together on Sunday morning is they need to examine themselves. And this examination is not an examination for perfection. It's an examination where we're to ask ourselves, have we walked our worship? Are we walking our worship? Are we sharing what we have? Are we doing justice? Are we loving kindness? Are we walking humbly with our God? Are we walking our worship? That's the examination that all of Jesus' followers are called to go through before they come to this table. So that if they haven't been, they can begin. If they have been, they can continue doing. So that's my challenge for all of you this morning. That as the elements are passed, and the bread comes to you and the cup comes to you, ask yourself, how am I walking my worship in the world? Does my worship look like a body broken and blood poured out? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have given yourself for us. Help us to give ourselves for others, that we might walk the worship that you have shown us how to and called us to do. In Christ's name, amen.